I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today is August the 16th, 2011, 5 p.m. I'd like to ask any of the board members if they have any declarations of conflicts of interest to declare. Any conflicts of interest to declare. I have none?
None.
Okay, the board members present all stated they have no conflicts of interest. I will now do a roll call. Myself, Robert Fino, is here. Mr. Tim Heine?
Here.
Mr. Bill McCarter?
Here.
Ms. Candy Roll?
Here.
Mr. Rebel Jones is called and asked to be excused for the first hour. He has a work schedule conflict and he'll be in. I'd like to ask the chief if he would like to lead the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to move to agenda item number 5, the approval of minutes from July 19th, 2011. Any comments from the board concerning those minutes? Well, that's if we have more than one item to approve on the approval of minutes.
Make a motion that we accept them as written.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Mr. McCarter to accept the minutes as written and a second by Mr. Tim Heine. Any discussion? We will now take a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes from July 19, 2011, with a show of hands. Show of hands show that all four board members present approved that motion. Do we have any members of the public wishing to address the board, make comments?
Josh Schneider, I'm GMS captain here. I would just like to see if I can get on the next board meeting to address the board about the public safety retirement system and us possibly switching over from Arizona State Retirement to the public safety retirement system.
Thank you. We'll discuss that with the last agenda item, which is discuss any new agenda items for the next regular meeting. I have it listed right here to talk about that. We'll now move on to reports. The financial reports.
Making a copy for you. They emailed everybody a report. I understand that some of them were not able to open them. The balance in our M&O account. $49,704.95.
Can you make us a copy? I believe
they're making them right now. Okay. They're 20 pages long, so that's why.
Well, can we do something?
Now,
let's do something else. Until
yeah.
We have copies.
And let's hold off until we have those copies.
Okay.
Let's move on to the chief's report first, okay. If you don't mind.
Sure. I got a question on that. If I can, if it's 20 pages long, why did I only get 5 pages?
Yours is printed
yours
differently.
Yours is printed different, and it's about half the size.
Yeah, I was able to squeeze it down to 6 pages myself.
I just didn't know who could see.
Okay. And but so if we don't mind, we'll move on to the chief's report given by our chief Mike Martinez.
Okay, on chief's report, we have brush fires 2, false alarms 2, structural fires 0, other 1. And control burns 1, year-to-date fire calls 70. And I was asked before to provide what we thought we were going to have on the wildland. And so I went ahead and had Lori make up what we projected we were going to get through all the fires that we've already done this year. So if you look at the very bottom of the list, it shows that if everything comes in, that we would be in the profit of $70,632.94.
That is after fuel, after any maintenance, any repairs on our vehicle, after payroll.
So it's net profit?
Yes.
It's all profit.
Now, let me ask you, Chief, you said if everything comes in, will everything come in, or is there a possibility?
It's all federal money. It'll
come in. Oh, it'll all?
Okay. It'll just take a little bit.
Okay, so it is.
These numbers have been accepted by the state and feds. And that is what is on its way. If you see in the receive, heading receive, those fires paid next to them, that's what we've received to date for those fires. Under the blue column at the top, it's blue, it says build. That's what we build the state and the feds for each fire.
Where was the Arlene fire?
That was over by California Lake.
So we can go through the very first column is, of course, the name of the fire and the date of the fire. The next column over is who was on that fire, what personnel responded. Under the green heading, that's the wages that we billed the state, and our engine cost. That's what we built the state to rent our engines, so to speak. Under the gold heading is what it costs the district. So if it says backfill, that means personnel that came to the station to take the station hours of the personnel who went on the fire. And then there's regular wages. Next to that is fuel and maintenance, what we spent to drive to get to the fire, fuel to get home, lodging, if there was any lodging fees, and any food. And then bill received profit and loss. So
the last board meeting that I attended to, they wanted to know exactly how much more we were expecting and what we had built out and what we were going to get. This should help with that.
What did we project? I remember asking that.
We projected build 80,000. So this is actually build over 120. And received 70, or should receive 70.
Can we normally see this much of a bill and pay balance like that? Or, I mean, is it normally about $50,000 to compensate for wages and fuel and maintenance and so on?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, you're going to see about that. And, you know, this is, you know, trying to get one truck out. You know, naturally, if we had more engine buses, we probably could have had more trucks out. But I think we did pretty good with the wild man.
So how long will it take to collect the 105,000 we're out? That's what we're out right now, right?
It's hard to say.
It's
hard to say. It's coming in slowly as it is. We just received a check about 2 weeks ago from the corner fire.
$105,000, Mr. Heine? I'm sorry, what were you looking at?
I'm looking at what we've collected compared to what...
Oh, received. Okay.
It's basically $105,000 difference.
Yep.
So...
It can take anywhere between 3 to 5 months to receive funding for some federal fire.
Is there anything that we need to do to make sure that something doesn't slip by, or?
Oh no, I check it. I have emails each week that I correspond with the billing department for each buyer, and it just takes a little while.
What's about the average time for it, when it the month that the that it finally comes in? like last year, what was it, December? Or?
It just depended on the date of the fire. If it was later on in the season, we might not have received a check till January, February. Sometimes we receive checks October, November.
Okay.
It depends on the size of the fire.
It depends on where the it depends on where the fire is. If it's in the state, generally we get a check within a month or two. If it's out of state, it takes a little bit longer.
Okay.
And if it's federal, it takes a little bit longer. So it can still be in the state of Arizona, but it can be a federal fire, and it'll take a little bit longer. If it's a state, within the state fire, then it's usually 1 to 2 months. And then it also depends on how many fires are going at one time. We all know that this season was pretty big, so there were several fires going at one time, so that's going to delay a little bit also.
Okay. Any other questions by the board? Let's move back to the financial report. Did you all get a copy?
I think that's right.
Nope.
Yeah.
One more?
I have one.
I don't have mine, so we just...
Oh, I thought you had yours.
No, I didn't. No. I thought I did, but no. Okay. Ms. Tucker, go ahead.
I gave you my copy.
Oh, we'll have to take that.
You'll have to share, or...
He can look on mine if he doesn't touch it.
Okay. I went over the report with... Mr. McCarter this morning, just so I can kind of give him a heads up of what's going on. What I did is I did a year-to-date comparison. First column is 2011. Second column is 2010. This is from July 1st through August 15th. And what I did is you'll probably have, you know, you'll have to take your pages and put them side by side. Going through income, you'll see what I see is, if it's in green, that we're doing very well with. We're either collecting more than last year or spending less than last year. If it's pink, that means that we're spending more than we did last year. Right now in our M&O account, we have $49,704.95. In our reserve account, we have $24,276.
Who's M&O?
Everybody following
so
far?
No, where is the second figure that you...
The reserve account is at the very top, right above income. There's $24,276. This is pretty much our budget. There might be a few extra line items that our in-house budget tracks, but I tried to go in line with our budget so you could see where we're at. Ambulance revenue is up quite a bit. In 2010, at this time last year, we had collected $2,853.84. We've collected $8,869.40 in the last month and a half. So if you go down the list, you can kind of see fire subscriptions are way up, $1,350.91 versus $417 from last year. Our lockbox program is doing really well. $985.98 versus $105. Our wildland revenue is up from last year. That doesn't necessarily mean that we've collected that just in the month and a half, but compared to last year, we collected money much, much later. So that gives us a total of income at this point at $49,691.53 versus $10,566.07 last year.
You mean, you read off the total expenses and then you...
No, total income.
Total income, okay.
The top bracket?
It should be 20... As opposed to 29,652.78, you mean?
No, I was just starting with charges for service, not taxes, just the top.
Oh, 41.
Right.
Okay, I thought you said 49. Okay.
And then if you go down the next bracket, you'll see taxes. Now, we collected $2,126.92 last year at this time in FDOT taxes. I'm not sure if it's just coming in later, but we've only collected $1,683.77 this far. That seems a little low to me, but...
That comes in from our people here, right?
It comes in from the state.
But for our community.
Right, right.
Actually, everybody in the state is charged, and the state determines which districts get how much.
Right.
Okay.
We really don't have a number that we can say we're going to collect this. We can anticipate to collect what we did last year, but we don't really have an actual report here. Property taxes. Last year at this time, we collected $16,266.10. So far this year, we've only collected $5,686.17. So I don't know if the county's just a little slower right now in collecting taxes, or if it's the economy. I'm not sure. We'll still collect it. It's just
aren't we due to collect less taxes this year?
No, not actually.
No.
It's going to be still around in the same range. Our tax percentage is going to be a little less than we anticipated, but we're still going to collect roughly the same amount that we anticipated. We'll start collecting large sums of taxes, $80,000, $110,000 in October, November. So that's $49,000 total in revenue and taxes versus $29,652 last year. If you go down, follow expenses, you guys can just kind of look over it, see where things are high on. If you reference back to, I believe it's page 9, and it goes on from there, it'll give you an explanation of why something is higher.
13.
Oh, 13?
Yep.
So you'll be able to see our donations are less because last year we had a donation from the Lions Club, which was, I believe, $1,000. It'll give you an explanation pretty much from each line item. We have an increase in medical supplies, but some of that is equipping the new ambulance. Medic 303. So.
Now, is the fuel where you have it marked bad, that would include wildland fuel?
Yes.
So, is there going to be a way that will be dispersed back so that doesn't show on our budget that way?
Yeah, we can definitely track it that way. That's not a problem at all. I just wanted to show that is the actual number where we're at. And fuel has gone up. You know, it's been high lately. I'm not sure how we fix that. Or what about bulk fuel? Is that something we can do?
No.
Actually, they charge you more for bulk fuel now.
Oh, do they?
Hybrids.
Smart
oh, no.
Trucks. If you see something in the gold color, it's highlighted in the gold color, I believe that's a normal amount for the year. If it seems higher than last year, I still believe that that's within range of where we need to be.
Mr. McCartney?
I have another question, and we touched on this earlier today, but some of the wages, because it's $22,000 higher this year. Is that not partially wildlands also?
That is.
And can it be tracked back the same way?
Yes, it can be.
Okay.
It definitely can be. That's just an actual number where we're at, what we've spent to date.
When you talk about being tracked back, what do you mean, though?
When we receive the funds, we'll debit those accounts back to put those funds back into that line item,
okay,
into that account.
Good.
So that it brings that number
so
down
that
and back into
that,
percentage.
Right. We still need to keep an eye on wages. I know it takes a lot to man a station, but within the budget, within what we have budgeted for wages, we should be more at 45,000 for a month and a half rather than 64,000.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Grant expenses.
Sorry.
Or grant, yeah. Are we getting anything in on grants?
Yes, we are. We're waiting for roughly $7,000 from the RFA grant that is still being reimbursed to us. We had to put forth and spend a certain amount before we received our money back. So we just closed that grant out. We should receive money soon.
Thank you.
We have two pages for each one. See, this is explained. Mm-hmm.
Our health insurance went up a tiny bit. I believe it went up $2 per employee. It's just cost of living, annual increase. There's no way to stop that. We did a comparison with other companies, and Blue Cross Blue Shield was still the lowest for our size of a district. So. And we will see an increase in our Arizona State retirement, which they went through that with us when we signed up. They anticipate it increasing up to 12%. We're paying 9.6%. So within the next 5 years, it will reach 12.6%, I believe. So something to think about with that.
Now, I think in here we have, I want to bring up the subject, is the tower listed in here?
It is listed under communications. The yearly, we did not anticipate to have to pay that $6,000 for another year with American Tower. It was not in our communications budget, but it also isn't listed under expenses at this point. Because it's a monthly fee.
Does everybody here on the board understand what happened, what that situation was with Riggs Tower?
Yes, we moved it.
No.
We didn't move it?
Not yet.
It hasn't moved?
It was in the process of being moved. Chief, would you like to touch on that?
What had happened is we were anticipating on having the tower moved by June. And with the delays from the county on getting the IGA done, and with the back ordering of parts, it didn't happen by June. So what happened in the contract with American Tower is because we didn't stop the contract, it automatically renewed in June.
For how long?
For a year. So talked to Pino about it. And actually, it's probably not a bad thing, just because it will allow us to make sure we got all the bugs ironed out before we just put the other tower up and take the other one away. So at least we still have a backup before we get everything ironed out. However, there is a clause in there that says that if American Tower is not servicing us properly, which we don't have good communication with them, then there is a possibility of going ahead and going out and trying to avoid the contract.
Wouldn't we have to prove that, testing?
Yeah.
And who would do the testing on that?
Probably the communications.
But
we've already done the testing, so
right.
We already know that Postal Basis works a lot better than Richmond. We already have dead spots with Richmond.
And what is the anticipated time for Dos Cabezas?
He's working on it now. Be up there tomorrow.
To do what?
To get the new tower put up.
Okay, what if we can't break the contract with American?
We can still get our tower up.
We have to pay for both.
It'll be double.
What?
We have to pay for both.
We have to pay for
Dos Cabezas and Riggs Tower.
So but still, in the long run, it's still a savings to us later.
But how much is it costing us now?
$6,000. Well,
American Tower is $6,000 for a year.
Okay, and Dos Cabezas is how much?
Zero.
Well, what about when we get the tower up?
We
don't pay them anything.
We paid $18,000 to have it moved and set up, but we will not pay a monthly fee.
We will not have a monthly payment.
Okay, but we have to pay $6,000 to America.
Yes.
$500. Now, are all the parts in then?
Are we all? I believe so. He's here. He got here Monday.
Monday? Okay.
And so they're going up tomorrow and I'm going to make sure everything works and make sure they can get up there and make sure everything's not washed away.
Right, the roads.
Yes. Before they bring the rest of the crew.
There was no fire up there at all, correct?
No.
Nothing reached that mountain. Okay. Any other questions?
About the entire report?
About the financial report?
The utilities.
Yes.
Is that something we're going to be able to bring down?
Well, it's part of our agenda, some options that we may have. I cannot anticipate what SSBC's costs will be. I can't guarantee that they're going to go down in price or go up in price.
Is it their price that is causing? That is causing
well, we've had a few things. We have more people manning the station. We have somebody at Richland full time. So there are things that have caused it to go up, but it seems like the cost of electricity has gone up significantly. And that's nothing I can really.
You can't.
I can't anticipate that either way. So.
So it's just electrical usage is our main concern.
Yeah.
And not water or anything, not other.
No, I think everything has gone up a little bit, like things do, but.
Look at this, the main station.
If you go to utilities.
And this.
It has gone up, electricity has gone up significantly. In every aspect.
Okay. Street lights doubled?
That's what's cost in a month and a half. So the only thing is maybe the cycle days were late, were different last year at this time, and we hadn't received our bill. Our streetlights are pretty constant, about $12 to $12.92 a month. So that might be 2 months worth where the cycle hadn't hit yet.
That's what I'm wondering, if this whole utility thing isn't 2 months worth.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
Okay, because my street lights are the $12.91 and the $12.80 like you have here.
Yeah, so that's probably a month and a half, and that one, the other one didn't quite fill out. But my mother works there at SSBC, and we went through our usage, and it has gone up significantly. So.
Yeah, I just find it odd that all of them went up. I mean, arts and crafts. I mean, that went way up, over 236 versus 502.
More than double on all of them.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, we can.
Something just don't seem right
now,
there.
When it says arts and crafts building separately from the
quarters? Arts and crafts and quarters.
And quarters.
And
right.
Quarters.
That's.
Okay, so the whole building.
Right.
Those guys watching TV with the lights on?
I think they're afraid of the dark and running the lights at night.
I don't blame them.
Richland has gone up, of course, because there's somebody there full time, 24/7. You know, we can redo another study with Sulphur Springs, and Mr. Garcia has numbers too on what we're spending.
Well, maybe we should look at next month's, because we're kind of messed up on our meeting, right? Next month it'll be about. Another month from
yeah.
now,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
rather than a month and a half.
Yeah. I just wanted to give you a two-date perspective of where we're at this fiscal year so far. Our garbage collection went up because we had garbage over at Richland. We paid $35 for this station and $19, an additional $19 for Richland.
We have that much garbage in Richland?
Well, they've been doing a lot of cleaning. They've been taking care of stuff that hadn't been done in a while. So we felt it was necessary to not allow trash to pile yeah. up, because the neighbors do not want to see that.
$19 a month?
Yeah.
That's what it costs.
Cost me 161, so.
You would pick 19.
I'd take 19.
If you go down to water, we've stopped watering the park so excessive. The rain has helped, so that's dropped in half. So.
And it looks good.
Prices have gone up. Some things we can do another study on our utilities, but.
Now, will you have this in your program being updated monthly, or
yes.
Is it was just a
nope,
program
it's
you
updated monthly?
Okay. So we can all view that on the screen, right, Tim? Right. We can all view it. We may not be able to print it.
Everybody could open it, but printing it was an issue.
No, I couldn't view it.
You couldn't view it either.
No, I couldn't either. I couldn't bring it up.
I couldn't open it up.
Okay.
Can you save it in a different format?
What kind of operating system do you have?
Word.
Okay.
Word.
Either that or she can send it to me and I can forward it on to
you. I couldn't get yours either.
I couldn't
or
get
I
yours
always
either.
Used to get yours.
I could deliver them to you. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you have.
We need to get everybody new computers updated.
Well,
I mean, these dinosaur computers aren't going to match up with our new stuff.
Excuse me.
I got yours, Chief, but I had to change it to a different format
right.
So I could, you know, download it and manipulate it.
See,
I could
probably send it in the 2003 format. I might get back to some of the age.
I had a PDF file on the next email and it opened it fine, but it wouldn't open those.
See, I had the same format and it didn't open mine.
I'll try some different things and see if I'm...
You used to get yours to me. I don't
mind. Yours is Excel.
Yes.
Correct?
That's what this printer... This went from... I exported it from QuickBooks to an Excel. So, it's the same as our books, just in an Excel format.
Okay. Maybe try Word.
Sure.
And under DOC format.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to send a test sample out?
Yeah, I'll do that
maybe Friday or
I'll
something.
I'll send a test sample if you would be so kind as to respond. That would be great.
Okay. Any other comments on the financial report?
No, a lot of work and figures involved here.
It's a very good report.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I've got this one.
Are you sure?
Yes, thank you.
That one's not valid.
Oh, I'll tough it. Thank you. Yeah, there you go. That's
my help. Okay, let's move on to item number C, the EMS report given by our chief, Mike Martinez.
That one's Transports 24, Air Transports 3, code 900, Public Assist 6. One case where the second ambulance was called out while the first one was on the call. Year-to-date EMS, 248. Ambulance rates have increased from 875.35 to 912.99, and mileage from 1751 to 1826. Josh had sent the information in for the increase, and when we got it. So.
I have that right here. It's in Fino's report.
Oh, that just came from Department of Services.
On these costs, where does that get you?
Well,
Warcox?
Oh, go ahead.
No, the $912, that's just to put you in the rig.
No, kidding.
The 1826 a mile gets you Wilcox.
We receive... The most we receive from that is about 70%.
Okay.
We never receive 100% for our ambulance billing. Some insurance companies were contracted, we only receive 65%. So.
I thought we were planning on transporting to Tucson instead of to Wilcox.
We have done a Tucson transfer. Paul and Terry had actually done it. But what it is not, we're not transporting everybody to Tucson, no. What the thoughts were is the folks that have veterans. The veterans, the VA, what we were going to do is send them to Tucson as long as we have a backup crew. We can't just send our first out ambulance to Tucson and then not have a ambulance to back our
crew.
Okay.
So if we have backup, then we will send it out to Tucson.
May I ask a question, Jim?
Yes.
Backup, what about our other two ambulances that we bought? What's the status of that?
We put the one ambulance in service as of Monday.
It's all painted and everything, and supplied and everything?
It's all outfitted and they're running it.
It stayed in the budget as far as what it needed on the inside?
In the budget, no. We had talked about that when we bought the ambulance, and it was mentioned that we're already over budget. Let's just go ahead and buy it. That's why we didn't take any more money out of the reserve account.
I didn't think we got the expensive one, and we got these two at a...
That is correct. But still, to outfit it, we decided to use... We're already over budget on it. We decided to just go stay with it instead of taking more money out of the reserve account.
Okay, and what about the second one? You're talking one. What about the second one?
The second one, we haven't done anything but sitting in Richmond.
When are we going to start on that one?
I think we should wait on that one until we get more money.
Okay. Money.
So right now, as it stands, we have three ambulances in service ready to go.
Now, one of those belongs to...
The state. But we can keep it as long as we want. So.
Have we ever run three ambulances?
No. We don't have enough people to run three ambulances. The idea was that when one breaks down, we have a backup.
Thank you.
You want me to continue on? Oh, I'm done.
I don't want any more good news. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to any other questions concerning the EMS report?
No, sir.
Under new business, we're going to... move the presentation by Buena Vista Plumbing concerning changing to solar power. We're going to move that up ahead. And okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Rebates that are available to they would pay for this thing without actually taking money out of the budget. There is Treasury grants available, and that's what we're going to use. There's two ways to use them. One, we can use a leasing company that actually owns the equipment, and they get the Treasury grant, but they give you a lower payment on the lease, and then at the end, you end up with a balloon payment.
The what? Balloon?
You end up with you end up buying the system back for at market value at that time. It'll take 15 years for the lease to be over. You lease it for 15 years, at the end of 15 years, but I'll explain everything here. And also, I'll show you how you can just finance it. And you know, we get the Treasury grant ourselves, but the main thing that's going to make a difference on the Treasury grant, if we get it, is if we're a nonprofit organization that uses the 501, no taxes, then we can.
501c3.
Yeah. I don't think the fire department is. I'm not sure. And if we're technically not part of government, I don't think we're actually tied to the county. That's part of being part of the county. We're independent accounting.
He does not own the property.
The fire district owns the property, don't they?
Correct.
Yeah, the fire district owns the property.
Right.
Okay. So either one will work if we get to where we see that we like the doing the financing option ourselves and just taking the The treasurer grant amounts to $86,000. It's 30% of it. And I'm just going to give you an overview, and then we're going to go page by page, and I'll explain everything. Okay, the first two pages show the electric bills for the arts and crafts and the fire station. And down here they give you, I come up with an average of what we're paying. I average these two numbers out, come at 214. You might not be able to read that one, but that one's 214. This one here is 214, if you can read it. On some of them, I read it. And the usage, the kilowatt usage is 1650 per month. That's 1650. That's how much kilowatts we're using per month at the fire station. The other, no, that's at the arts and crafts, yeah. And then the fire station, I just used the numbers they have, which is, if you turn to the next page, there's your cost and your usage, okay? You got the cost and the usage right there.
Okay. Which is 353?
353 is your average bill for the fire station. And then the average usage is 2697 kilowatts per month. And then the arts and crafts is average at 214 with 1650 kilowatts per month. Now when I did my full calculations, I did it including the Richmond station, which at times uses very little, but I kind of, talking to Lori, came up with an amount that will take care of when it's full demand. And this project is looking forward to the future. I imagine someday you're going to probably use that thing more and you'll have the power to do it. If you decide to cut back, this is a suggestion. We can always change whatever you want. But right now, I'm giving you enough. You're going to get enough power to man that one and not raise your bill. It'll be covered. The next three pages show what the size of system that the power company will allow, which is very important because the one that I was concerned with was the Richmond station, because it doesn't have a lot of demand, which means they might not allow us to have a large system. But somewhere along the line, it used a lot of power somewhere, and it came in, the max allowed is 17K, and that's what I wanted to use. So we will be able to have the size system we want over there. The next page is some information on the Treasury grant. And if somebody wants to look at all of it, it's really easy to find it on the internet. You just punch in 1603 Treasury grant, and you print out a little book this big. I didn't want to overload the meeting with all of that. So I was able to find these two pages here. This one's an overview, and this one here mainly tells you what people should not apply. And that's where I picked up that we didn't want to be a nonprofit organization, which I don't think we are. And this overview tells you what is available with this grant. And everything has to do with energy. It's an energy grant is what it is. So we can use wind power, solar power, along with a lot of others. So we're good for using it for this. Okay? Now the next page, you should be on this one here now, I believe.
Yep.
Okay, this is a proposal. And this one shows, the top one shows the main fire station and the quarters. I got that one together. If they're together, I can do it as one system. It calculates to 114, 250 panels. It's a 28.5 watt system. The price is $186,000 even. And then the Richmond station is 68 panels, a 17,000 watt system using, and that's for $102,000. combination of the two is $288,000. Now,
got a quick question for you, sir, if I could. Back to the U.S. Treasury Department 1603.
Yes.
It says on here, further requirements, if this organization falls any of the below designees or designations, you are not eligible for Section 1603.
Yes.
Okay, well, we are a federal, or we are a government and political subdivision, so we don't even fall for this.
Well, you may not be able to. I was assuming that you're...
Yeah, but it says if you're any of these, you should not even go on.
You may not be able to use this. But we can take advantage of the Treasury grant. If you're not able to use it this way, which I'm hoping you can, it doesn't make that much difference. It'd be good either way. But if we can't use this one, then there's leasing companies that are out there that will own the system and lease it to you. You can lease it. Okay, and then you get the benefit of it because they get that money. And I've got a copy of the lease in here because I did get a lease for you. Okay? And if we decide that this is a government, I was hoping that we were an entity that's more or less like subcontracting to the county. And I know you own the property and you're not a 501, so I was hoping that. But it doesn't matter. We may not want to go that route anyway. Okay? Okay. But either way, you need to know where at large. You're getting about 80% of this system paid for by other people. Okay? 30% of it is going to come from the Treasury grant, whether we apply for it directly ourselves or whether we do it with the leasing company. The power company is going to come up with 50% of the cost of the system through their rebates. And those rebates aren't money out of their pocket. The rebates are money that everybody that has an electric bill pays into the fund. When you look at your electric bill, everybody will see that it says ACC, environmental, rest, or something like that. Okay. And so everybody's paying into that fund. And then when you get a solar system, that's where the money comes from. Okay. And 50% of the cost of the system will be covered with that fund. And I'll explain everything a little bit later on that too. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. Well, anyway, back to the proposal. And then now the next page is the lease, okay? They're not requiring guarantors on this. And they show the next line shows the equipment that they're going to use, shows the cost. They call it a true lease, secured by property lien. And then it talks about the Treasury grant. The next thing says 1603 Treasury grant, $86,400, which is 30% of the cost of the system. The term of the lease is 180 months. The monthly payment is $1,580. And the only thing we need to come up with is the first month's rent, $500 for documentation fees, $500 inspection fees, and that's it. At the end, there will be a purchase option where we buy it for fair market value. And they tell me that should be around 25% of the cost of the system.
So here it says payment to be made as follows, 50% down.
That was just on the other, just forget that. You scratch that off. That has no use. Lori had a good question. She noticed that the monthly payment is more than the utility bills are right now. But this page isn't, some of the information here is not accurate, but I want you to see this. Okay, this page shows where the total system for all three buildings is going to be a 45,500 watt system. It's going to produce 84,500 kilowatts per year, which is 100% of what you're using even after the other station goes up running completely manned. Right now, if I believe that's a pretty close number.
Yes.
Okay. $867 approximately what you're paying with the other station fully manned. But right now it's not, so there will be, you're going to have more money coming. But the other solar system over there, even if it's not, if you're not using all the power, it's still going to be paying you back your PBI at the amount it's supposed to. So the money coming in will be the same, will be what this says, whether you're using it or not.
Don't we sell that to SSVEC?
Exactly. If there is a surplus, there's two ways you get the money from SSVEC. One is your PBI, which is your performance-based incentive. We're going to put a separate meter at both locations, and then that meter will report back to the power company and tell them how many kilowatts you're using. They're going to pay you, depending on which system we decide to use, either 18.2 cents a kilowatt or 16.2 cents a kilowatt. But that has nothing to do with the buyback. That is the payment that they're giving you. That's part of your 50% payment. That's how they pay you. It takes them approximately 10 years to pay you that. The system shows that $288,000, the payback you're going to get from them is $144,000. And they'll do it at, according to like this shows $15,378 per year, which is $1,282 per month. When you add that, when you add those two figures, you come up with $2,149 per month. Part of the savings and part of it is the money coming in. And that is more than your lease.
I see. Okay. I see how that works.
You see how it works?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions so far?
Now, how much of a payback guarantee is that? I mean, is that...
Well, the PBI is guaranteed. The system will is guaranteed to produce that much. It's going to produce the 84,500 kilowatts a year.
So
and the power company will actually sign a contract with you guaranteeing you 18.2 cents or 16.2 cents, whichever we decide to use. One is one stretches the payments out a little longer, and we can use that to help us carry the payments longer, okay? When we do the financing, we may want to use, we got our choice which one we use, okay? There's going to be a lot of going back and forth when we start actually pinning down what we're going to do with financing. First thing we got to do is decide, do we go with just to finance it, or do we go with a lease? And once we decide which one of those we're going to use, and if you tell me that you know you're part of a government agency, then we should drop that one. We still take advantage of the Treasury lease, but we do it another way. So we're going to get 80% of the system paid that way. Okay, then to answer your question, what guarantee there is, the system is always going to produce that two ways. One, it's going to produce to bring your bill down to zero, okay? And the other thing, it's going to produce to bring the money in for you with the PBI. And there's not much that can change that, okay? Okay, then coming down, so the main thing we have to look at, this system will pay you back $2,149, and that's the money that we're going to leverage. That $2,149 is the money we're going to leverage to buy this system at no cost from your budget right now. You will not have to, you will not have to raise your budget to do this. And then I've got more papers showing how we'll do that too. Okay then. Okay, we were on the lease, and we switched gears a little bit here, and I think we were down to the lease term of 180 months, the payment. Okay, I guess we covered it all. We got down to the fair market value. And, okay. Then I think we're down to these pages right here. There's two of them. One is for the lease and one is for the payments. And so are we gonna all agree that we probably have to stay with the lease?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Then we won't even mess with the other one, okay? And when you look at this one, this top thing just says your current monthly cost, okay? The very top line.
Which page are we on?
We're on this one right here.
The very first one. Oh,
second one. This one right here. Page. We're not going to use the other one because the other one's for payments, okay? Okay, so we're going to, this says what we're talking about, and you read it all the way across. The very top line has your current monthly bill, which includes the Richland station, and it includes it if it was fully manned. Then it also takes, when you studies show that there, a lot of places expect an increase on power bills of about 5% per year. This study here shows 1% per year, which is very low. And then you come down, the next line that's important is the 10-year monthly PBI, okay? That shows, first thing it shows the number I've been telling you, 0.182, and then it's got the monthly return of $1,265, and that's constant all the way across into the 10th year when it drops off to an average of 608 because it pays off in that 10th year. The next one, the next line, it says lease cost monthly, 1580. That stays constant all the way across, all the way out to 15 years.
All the way out to 15 years, okay? That's correct.
Any questions on that, anything so far? Then the next line shows, it says PBI capped at 50%. And the first number it shows is the $144,000, which is the full amount that you've got coming for this from the power company. Then each year after that, it starts dropping off what's left of it until it gets down to zero in the 10th year. Okay? Then it quits paying you. What's this giving you, the $144,000? It will stop. Now, to answer your question, you know, on the guarantee, let's say that the system produced just a slightly less than the $84,500, it would just keep on paying out longer until it paid you the $144,000.
Okay.
See?
Now, when it stops paying you in year 10, or maybe possibly a little further, we still pay the 1580 lease,
yes,
for another 5 years.
But I'll come down and show you how that's covered, okay? See, what's happening, we're going to start out with a surplus. We're going to start with a surplus of about 400. I think that one page shows it.
Yeah.
The other page that shows you?
I saw it through more. There's a graph.
Oh, the graph?
This one here.
This one?
No. Well, the graph shows it too, kind of.
Yeah,
but
see, it shows that it drops off.
Yeah, it shows it dropping off. The page I want is, let me see if I can find it. Play over here. This one here shows about a 427 monthly payback or money left over.
Okay. Oh, right here at the very first page.
Yeah. And the reason that's left over is because this shows it too. Okay, where it says impact on cash. Okay? So you're going to have an impact on the cash. On the second year, you're up to 5. It keeps going up a little bit because of the 1% increase in electric bills. Okay? And then when it gets to, and then the bottom line where it says annual cash impact, it starts showing you how much you're going to be accumulating. On the second year, you will have accumulated $6,033. By the third or fourth, you're up to $13,000, then $21,000, $29,000, $36,000, $44,000. When you hit the 10th year, right here it shows, when if you look at this one right here, when you hit the 10th year where you're at 68,000, when you hit zero, when it quits paying off, you're going to have
$68,000 set aside for it. So it'll take another account, separate account, to take care of this, and that account will be gaining interest also. And the other thing that this chart does not take into account is the fact that the Richland station, is not going to have a $300 a month bill all the time until the year comes that you're fully manned. So we have no clue what that's going to be, but that will make this figure go up considerably. So when you get to the end, if you don't use that station as much as I'm predicting, I'm showing this study like if you started using it next month, $300 a month electricity, and right now it's using 100. So that's going to be 200 extra into the kitty. But the year you do use it, you've got the money there, and it won't make this thing go backwards. If you used it at $300 a month, it would make this study correct. And everything you don't use will make this one go the other way. At the end of the study, when it stops paying, you're going to have $68,000. Then you start using that to pay it down. And when it gets to the 15 years, that will pay down to $32,000. And that's the money you're going to use to buy the system back.
What's the system going to look like in 15 years?
The systems are... They're guaranteed to last 25 years, and they're predicted to go much longer. There's nothing to wear out. The systems.
It says less balloon. How do we know what the balloon payment's going to be? It says fair market value.
Yeah, fair market value.
What if it's $120,000 fair market value?
The way we're going to establish that, what they say they want to get is about 25%. So
25% based on the 288?
Yes. And but
about 72,000.
I normally things that have been used that long do not come up that high value. And what they do is what we do is appraisal. We have an appraiser or a couple of appraisers.
But if it appraises, if it comes in at 25%, $72,000 at the end of 15 years. Our savings over 20 years is 91.
Now, when you use the 20-year, I think at the end it comes out. With the 20 or the 10-year, PBI comes almost the same at 15 years. There's $32,621 in the bank. And then the payments stop. Now you can, there's other options we have with the leasing company, and we can ask them for an option where there is no payback, the payments last longer and pay it out. We can do that also.
Well, I think we should ask them for an exact amount of what the payout is going to be. I've leased and purchased equipment all my life, and I've always had that number.
Yes.
Or I never signed.
I agree with you.
Or I never signed.
That's not a problem.
So now, that's what we need to know before we can digest it.
Yeah, no, I know that. There's no way tonight that I was going to be able to cover everything, and all we want to do is get the okay for me to push it farther. All I want to do is push it farther. When you look at your at the proposal, let's get back to that one. What I'm saying here is this proposal allows the contractor to proceed with financing options, organize the rebates with SSBC, organize the design, engineering of systems. This contract is not valid and work will not proceed until owner is satisfied with all of the above. So we're not, what this proposal does here is not the final proposal for cost or for the financing. It is just a proposal to move forward with the engineering, financing, rebates, get everything down pat to where we have all the questions answered. Especially the one about the open-ended lease.
I'm sorry, I've got a question for you.
Yes,
if
sir.
I can. What about any type of maintenance?
They're very low maintenance, and the system is set up with micro-inverters where each panel has its own inverter, and there will be a... it will send the signal into the building through the wires, and we put a what's called an envoy that shows it shows what the panel, each panel is doing, each inverter is doing, and if there's a problem, it's monitored, and the monitoring is free for you for life, and the company monitors it, and if there's a problem with any one of the collectors or the inverter, they will send you an email, and they send me one.
Who pays for that? Who pays for
it? It's part of the system.
For maintenance,
I take care of the maintenance for 5 years for no cost. Yes. That'll be part of my contract. We take care of 5 years. It's easy to do because there's very little. The only time I had to go back on the system is when I got hit by lightning. And it was easy to fix.
You say it comes in by electricity?
The signal?
Working with the solar.
Yeah, the signal from what the panels are doing, mm-hmm. The envoy picks it up inside the building when we plug into one of the circuits.
How are our circuits? Are they coded for your system of what you need?
Yeah, it'll do it.
This is just one more question I have, and I'm not trying to be real mean or negative against it, but you know, with the economy going the way it is now and businesses dropping, what if you're not in business in 5 years? How do we get service?
Well, for one thing, our business was started in 1955. My father started the business, and then me and my brother took over, and right now we're the fourth generation. Very few businesses have been around for 57 years. And especially the solar business. We were doing solar 30 years ago, and I still remember when they stopped the credits, the rest of the solar business were gone. They left town. We had to study. Me and my brother had to learn how to maintain all the other ones in town to do the repair on them. And so we were the ones that were taking care of the repair. And the solar credits right now are guaranteed through 2016. So they're guaranteed for those 5 years. We're not planning to close the business for a long time. And of all the solar businesses around, we're probably the ones that got the track record for being here for a long time. We're actually the oldest business here at Vista. And I hold one of the oldest solar licenses in the state. It is from the 70s.
Thank you. So, is 60% down to starting?
No. We need to wipe that off. That was just on the when I do the we can everybody can scratch all
that's
that.
Done.
That's got to do with it.
That's off.
That's off. Okay. That was a not a typo. Not intended for this contract.
Did you have another packet?
Yes, sir.
Board member just arrived.
So, how much money do we put down?
Okay, when we go to the way it is right now, we go to the leasing option, you're going to put down $500 for documentation fees and $500 for inspection fees, that's it.
So $1,000?
$1,000. And then the only other thing you're going to put up is, at some point you put up the first month's rent, which that gets it going, but that'll be when it's ready. So really, the only thing outside of your lease that you're going to do is $1,000.
And what's the first month's rent?
$1,580.
But that'll kick in pretty close to when the power company's kicking in with their payments for the PBI, and your electric bill will drop.
And there's $500.
And we'll have the $800. From not paying the utility bill.
You've got $2,100 a month to make that $1,500 a month payment.
Okay.
Say that again.
Every month you're going to have over $2,000 to make, that's going to come into you to make that payment.
What do you think?
Yeah. 800 of it's going to be from your savings. You're not going to pay the electric bill.
Where does that go? You said that we have to keep that, so
you're
that,
keep that
when we do the buyout, it'll be in a savings account.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you're going to have about $400 to $500 a month left over, and you're going to have the power company is going to send you $15,000 a year or $1,282. And this was calculated at 18.2. It depends which way we calculate it.
And SSVEC knows that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They, like I say, it's not their money. It's the money that's going into their fund from everybody's paying. Everybody, if you live in, I'm sure you live in the area, you're paying into that fund also. Everybody here is paying into that fund. And the fire station is. And it amounts to thousands of dollars per month.
Is there a point where they could be overloaded with payback?
No, because that money never stops. As a matter of fact, they increased the amount of money that's going into that fund in June to speed things up.
How many companies? Is there another firehouse that's taking advantage of this?
I'm going to talk to them. There's a lot of businesses that are taking advantage of it. As a matter of fact, one of the things that this this overview here, this system's only been going on for about a year and a half. This treasury grant's only a year and a half old. And the number of projects funded is 15,125 nationwide, for a total of $7.7 billion. Now, and the electricity generated from them funds is 30.4 TWH. I guess it's a trillion kilowatts. That could be calculated into barrels of oil, and this is what's going to stop us bringing all the oil from overseas if enough is done. And according to this, just with this treasury grant, and this doesn't include everything else that the solar industry's done, just the treasury grants have brought in this much electricity. And I'm assuming the T is trillion.
Is this United States Treasury?
Yes.
How long is this guaranteed to go on?
Right now, it's only for this year.
So we have to have it all in by December.
Yeah, we have to have it installed by December. So
is that possible?
Oh yeah, but we need to act on it. Okay, we need to act on it. I can get it done. But if we that's why I did the proposal to where the proposal's only asking to turn you loose, and there's no obligation to you. If we get all the way through at the end and you decide, well, I don't think we want to do it, that's fine. I don't think it'll come to that. It's too good to turn down once we get to it. But nothing will be, the final contract will not be signed until everybody's satisfied with everything on it. And the other thing that this is going to give you, not only is it going to do electricity, it's going to give the firehouse the generator it needs. So I think it says it on the proposal. I didn't furnish one for the other one, but those things can be adjusted too. If you think you want one, I can try to organize it into that one too.
A generator for what?
Standby generator.
Backup
generator.
Wouldn't we should have one?
Every fire station should have one.
And we don't have one?
Okay, here's what we're going to be doing. Labor and material for the complete installation of a 114-panel, 28,500-watt photovoltaic solar system with a natural gas backup generator and transfer switch. The transfer switch is when the power goes off, the switch blocks the power from going back into the power lines, and the generator kicks on and prints the power for the station. And then during the day, if the solar is working, it will allow the solar to work, and it will just idle down. It'll just idle down solar systems have to feel power from the source. If there's no power from the source, they shut down. And the reason for that is they cannot, the solar systems cannot allow power to go back into the grid because the people, if the lines go down, they're working on the power lines out there. We can't allow power to be going that way. And so the inverters are manufactured by law to, if they don't feel that the solar, the energy going into them, they shut down. So the minute the power goes off, they shut down. There's no power. So the only way you can have a solar system working with a power outage is with backup power. And so your generator is set up just like a hospital or everything else. When it kicks on, it has to have that transfer switch to stop the power from going back the other way. It isolates it. Then it's on its own. And when the generator kicks on, then it's furnishing the power. So if the inverters from the solar system can feel the power, they open up. So during the day, your solar system will operate, sending power for the system. And at night, if there's a power outage at night, then the generator will take it over and clean it.
So a solar system needs electricity.
You got it. Ironic.
Yeah, it is.
Well, they used to make them where they didn't do that, but then they couldn't use them and tie to the grid. The one of the things that happens with that we have now is that the solar systems are able to store the energy in the power lines. Years ago, we didn't have the option to send the power into the power grid. We couldn't do that. In just the last few years, the government mandated the power companies to allow the power that's on the system to go in. And the problem was the government knew that in order to make solar work efficiently, it had to send the power in there because during the day, you're generating power, and as soon as you use most of your energy at night, and your lights are on at night, well, then you'd have to pull the power from the. But the only way to do it is with batteries. Batteries are very inefficient. They're troublesome. They need a lot of maintenance, and they have other controls. Then you end up with a system that has a lot of maintenance and controls. The way the systems are right now, they have very little maintenance. There's no moving parts, you might say. No moving parts. It's just solid. Everything's solid state, and so there's very little that can go wrong with them. I'm sure there's more questions.
I'm sure there is.
If I'm looking at this right, what it's saying is that after 20 years, we'll have averaged about $1,000 a year savings. Because we're going to have 91,727 and it's going to cost us 72,000 to buy it back, so that's going to average out to $20,000 after 20 years.
Sounds about right.
So we get 20 grand in a generator for our efforts.
No, from then on, the station will have free power.
Yeah.
Free power.
The whole idea is for eventually get the station to get free power.
From 20 years on, then there's free power.
But the system is only will only hold up another 5 years?
No, it's going to hold up a lot longer than that. They guarantee it. You know, the fact that the manufacturer will guarantee it for 25 years. The other thing that we're using, this thing I priced it with American-made panels, Solar World panels. If we get to where we start studying, we want to lower the price a little bit. There is lower-priced panels, but I would prefer using the Solar World panels because of the fact that that company's been in business for 30 years. And
are they made in the U.S.?
Yes, they are.
So when is it we start saving money? First year?
Yes.
And we save money for the first 15 years?
Now, get this going, I'm gonna call for several different types of leases, and I'll be talking to different leasing companies. And I'll get the best price we can get.
I have one more question. On a treasury grant, how does a leasing company qualify for that?
Excuse me?
How does the leasing company qualify for the treasury grant?
Because they're going to own it. They're going
so
to.
So anybody can get that treasury grant?
Yes.
Well, they fall under their parameters.
As long as you fall under the parameter, it sounds like.
Anybody except
us.
Except us.
Well, I still. Are you actually part of the county? It doesn't. To me, it doesn't sound like because the property is owned by the.
So we are a political residential division. The board is elected.
Okay. Well, you guys should know. Okay. Well, I wasn't sure. I was hoping it maybe weren't, because I thought that would be a good option. But if you.
Our money is funneled through the county, or the property is not owned by the county.
Now.
We're funded through tax dollars, so.
Well, for me, I see you as a subcontractor to the county. The tax dollars come to pay you, but you know I do a lot of county work too, and we're a subcontractor to the county work.
Well, have you done any fire districts yet?
No, you're the first one I've dealt with.
I guess we can use that one to find out.
Well, I mean, maybe you should be asking the questions to the county and see how.
Yeah, but we there's.
If there's a way around it, let's find it.
Well, I think what we need to do is still try to prove. One of the things we probably need to talk to, I will talk to the county attorney. And I will talk to the county attorney just to figure out exactly, are we, I didn't see it as a political entity here, but maybe it is. But maybe we need to let the county attorney decide that.
That's a good question, yeah.
And if we can prove it, then we switch over to this other financing option.
Because even all of our license plates are all government license plates.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Special
right. We're a
government license plate, but they're state government.
Yeah.
Not federal. So if it's federal, we're talking federal government.
It says federal, state, or local government, or any political subdivision.
Right.
State or local government.
I think it would be worth investigating.
Yeah. Sure. Let me as well. I had another question. Who are these leasing companies? For example, is it somebody that just deals with just this particular type?
No, this company that I'm dealing with right now, they lease trucks, they lease anything. They lease a lot of items. They're not just leasing solar. But, you know, when the solar came up, and then they were able to take advantage of it.
How do they get paid back?
How do they get paid back?
In other words,
well, they're going to get, within 90 days, within 60 days, they're going to get $86,000.
From
the treasury, and that's the $86,000 we're hoping would be coming into the district, and that would lower the payment. Then we just finance $200,000.
Then we finance $200,000.
Mm-hmm. If we did it the other way.
So the first thing you need to know is what we are, right?
One of the things, and all that will come together if we agree on this proposal, to just give me the okay to proceed with the financing options, organize our rebates, and then come back with you with all the questions you've got. Before I leave, I will make notes of every question that everybody's got, and then come back. I'll come back with specs for the generator, the size of the generator. I'll come back with engineering drawings. I'll come back with all the paperwork from SSVEC showing you how they're going to pay, phone numbers to call them, who to talk to, phone numbers to talk to the leasing company. Everything will be wide open for you. And all I need is, if you want me to do it, just turn me loose on it. I'll get you. I'll talk to the county attorney, approve if we can consider this a non-political entity.
Well, right now we're in the position only to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
this proposal. It seems like most of the board members are eager to proceed with the options and the evaluations of everything.
Not going to cost you anything. If you put me through the steps to do it, even if you don't buy it, I only gain from it. I'm going to learn more and more from this. And I'll learn where other steps I take with other companies. So it's not a problem for me to go through with a study.
Okay. I know we have a time element because you said it has to be done by December and it's already August.
Well, if we act on it now, I will get everything done as quick as I can to be here at either the next meeting or sometimes you have meetings in between.
Yeah, we could do a special meeting, I'm sure, to meet with you on that proposal. That's the only direction we can go right now. We can't.
No, that's the only direction I expected you to go. That's why this is written that way.
We can't vote on anything tonight as a board to say yes, proceed. But we can have a special meeting. How does the board feel about that? To discuss and vote on the go ahead for the proposed evaluation for the solar panels.
I think that's a great idea. I think the one thing that we all need to put into perspective, though, even though we're only going to save $1,000 a year for 20 years, is that this system benefits this earth.
Yeah.
We really need to look at that. By doing this, we're not going to be using electricity that is made by natural gas. Or we will when the generator's on, but, you know, and if it's going to take districts like us to be the first ones to be the leaders, and it's going to take, and we're supposed to be leaders, number one, and to keep this country going, we need a lot of this stuff to happen.
Well, right here,
we can't depend on natural gas,
no,
and oil products the rest of our lives. We all know that stuff.
Can we charge for tours? Can we charge for tours?
This number here at the bottom, I don't know what it is. I just read it today. But it says total estimated electricity generated from funded projects is 30.4 TWh. I'm going to find out exactly what that is, and I'm going to convert that into barrels of oil.
So in stating what I just said, I would like to make a motion that we do have a special meeting within the next 2 weeks.
What I'll do is,
and be in position to vote on this.
If you're going to do that, I'll move forward with some of the things that I need to do to come back with more information.
Well, would you need more than 2 weeks?
Well, even at the end, no, because I don't have to finish everything completely. And 2 weeks is a good figure. I will get a lot done. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, I'll make it to where it's much easier for you to make a decision. Okay? And even at that point, even the proposal that you're going to sign at that point could very well be just to allow me to keep moving forward. And until we have a proposal that I think is ready to start construction with, because what I want to happen is once we have it ready to build, what I won't do between now and then start the engineering, that will have some cost to it. But there's a lot I can do to come back in 2 weeks and have more information for you without creating any cost. And then once you vote on it at that point, I will, then again, even the proposal I bring then will probably be another one that just allows me to take it one step farther. And then when I have it completely final, then you make up your mind.
How much time do you think you need?
I think in 2 weeks I'm going to get it far enough for you to make a decision.
So we have a motion on the floor to have a special meeting, I would say, on Tuesday, the 30th of August.
That's fine.
What time are you?
What is your schedule on that?
Since it's only on Monday.
August the 30th.
30th.
At 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
Okay, we have a motion to have a special meeting on August the 30th at 5 o'clock to discuss proceeding with the proposal by Buena Vista Plumbing. Do I hear a second?
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Bill McCarter. Any discussion? And I'll take a vote on that. Everybody wishing to have a special meeting on the 30th of August 2011 at 5 p.m. with a show of hands. Show of hands show that all board members voted in favor of that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a 5-minute break.
That'd be great.
Same way, tax dollars.
Hey,
everything else he said, it's all made in the United States.
I was just, you know, we got a shitty account.
And like you said, this is the time to have not in the fossil fuels.
That's right. Save as long as you can. And don't put the pollution level down.
Okay, all the board members are present and back. We will now continue on with our meeting.
Would you turn on the recording?
Yes. Under new business, discuss and possibly vote on the purchasing of the Jaws of Life, not to exceed the cost of $30,000. I talked to the chief concerning this. He asked me to put this on the agenda, and he showed me the situation with the Jaws of Life. I think the chief would be the best to discuss this and present this to the board.
And I talked to, I believe, with Mr. Heine also a little bit about it. But, and Mr. Heine gave me some suggestions. And Mr. Heine, just so you know, we did check into those organizations, and neither one of them would want to repair our jaws due to the high pressure, and they didn't want to be liable for it. So anyhow, what I did is we did get a quote, and if you take the very first part of the clip, and look at the quotes there. The very first one you're going to see is a quote from, it'll show it in the middle there. It'll say Corey McNair. You guys see that in the white box? Right in the center?
That way.
What I did is I asked several companies to give us two quotes. Okay, one for a new set and one for a demo set. And I talked to Fino a little bit, and I told him that I'm kind of uncomfortable of repairing the set that we have. If they want $2,000 to repair it, and you'll see that quote also from Diamond Fire Rescue. I told Fino that the tools that we got were given to us by Alfreda quite some time ago, and they're really outdated. And I think that, you know, with vehicle accidents that happen out here, I think we need to have a tool that's capable of cutting the car to get somebody out. And so the two quotes that I got was for a new system, and most of these companies right now also have demo units. So you'll see a price from Corey in the amount of $22,558. That'll be on the second page. And then you'll see the second quote at $19,635.75.
I'm not finding
that. Yeah, where's the totals?
On the second page.
Second page on the bottom.
Yeah, but I don't see the total.
I see a subtotal of $17,965.
Are you on Corey page?
There was a shipping and then total.
Oh, you should have paid?
We're missing a page?
I'm not, but they are.
I think we're missing one page.
This one?
Well, it does add up, but it doesn't give you the total.
No, we should see. We should have another page.
See, I got. You're missing a page.
This page right here, Bill.
But it's the same one. Missing.
You're missing that page.
Going to.
Okay.
It's something like this.
Yeah.
It's all right, but I can add it up anyway. I can see it adds up to that.
We pay sales tax?
Yes.
We do.
We do.
Do you need me to make some copies? Or have some copies?
I'll just order real quick.
We're fine.
We're fine.
We either pay it now or we pay it later. They, at every after conference, they recommend you just pay it as you go.
And this set that you're looking at, the very first one that you're looking at, that's for what they call a Genesis tool. And you'll see another quote from Diamondback Fire and Rescue. You'll see one quote what they want to fix it, $1,735. That's just to fix the hoses. That's not to recondition the whole tool. And then to purchase the set, is $24,362. Now, I had asked them to get a quote for a demo unit, and we have not received a quote for the demo unit. So that we can be.
How old are demos?
Demos are usually the first year. And then I also got a quote from Extrication Concepts, which is from Matro. And you'll see that a new set is $29,484.38. And a demo unit reconditioned is $17,810.93. And my thoughts were is if we could just, to purchase this is to take it out of the reserve account.
How often do we use one?
In 1 year, we've used them 5 times, cut people off.
So you want how much?
And right now we have no jaws of life.
They're broke?
They're broke. They're out of service.
So how much do you want? Which page do you want?
If I was to pick the one that I would wish to purchase, it would be the Extrication Concepts for $17,810.93. And there's a couple of reasons why. One, he's local in Phoenix. He's got the best service record. For Rescue, you have to get service from California. And I don't know, I think it's Utah where you have to get Genesis service from.
What was the total? $1,001?
For the Extrication Concepts, it's $17,810.93. And you notice that there is no delivery and shipping. That's because of bringing it to us. Yes, sir.
Use demo tools like new condition. Did you mean to say like new condition or reconditioned? Because
like new condition.
Okay. Because reconditioned would basically lead me back to
an old set of damage service.
Yeah, like we don't want to do without.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Good. New condition.
Correct.
Okay.
Can we get any money off of our old one?
I think that we could probably put it on Terry's auction. See if we can get something out of it, but I can't guarantee what we get out of it.
So not very much, just looking at hundreds, correct?
And I don't know if we even want to do that due to liability reasons. I mean, everything as is, but still.
We can give it to somebody in Mexico. That's what a lot of departments are doing. Handing it down to departments that have nothing.
Give it to somebody and let them fix it. And the other thing about Extrication Concepts, and most of the folks have seen it here, is that Fred actually brought his tools down. We did a training and ran our tools with his tools side by side to see how much more he can get out of it. And they were pretty impressive. So he gave us a free education class.
Are there people here that were there?
Yes. Paul was there.
He's actually talking about fire management. Jen as well.
And Jen was there. It was at Russ's wrecking yard. Rob, were you there?
I was at the class. I wasn't at the extrication class. So I did see the tools that we had.
I don't think you were there. There's another reason why I'm sold on Hamatro, is Hamatro has a hose within a hose. So when you're looking to connect the tools, you connect one hose. Where all the other tools, you have to connect two hoses. So you take more chance of dirt getting into them and messing them up.
And time.
Now your solution for the money is to take it out of the reserve account. Is there any other way to do this?
The only reason why I say to take it out of the reserve account, sir, is because it has not been budgeted.
Oh.
And I also think that taking it out of the reserve account, we can put it back when we can.
And how much is in the reserve account?
$24,276.
Going to get us right down there.
How many extrications have we done this past year?
This past year, I'm not sure.
This year to date, I think we've done one, maybe two. Last year, I think we did six, with one of them being educational.
Another thing to bring up, I'm not sure, this is a question to Chief, is what happens if we get a call for an extrication right now? What do we do?
If we were to get one right now, we would have to call Frida or Wilcox Rule or Wilcox.
So that would have to wait until that's
good. Whoever's close enough.
Right.
Does Wilcox and Elfrida have one?
Wilcox, Elfrida has a newer set. That's how we got the old set. And I'm not sure that was before my time when they did the switch. But. And okay. I know, and I do know that Wilcox Roll has a set of Camachos.
Any comments from the board? Any questions?
Right now, with budgeted, I would think that we want to just get the equipment prepared and then budget for new purchase next on the next budget.
Would you say that again a little louder, please, Rebel?
I'd like to get this pair of this equipment we have repaired, but then with our next budget, the money in for new.
Can we guarantee that a repair would fix it?
Well, if I can answer that, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I don't think that that's the way to go, simply because it is an old set. We don't know what's going to happen next. What if we put $2,000 into it? And there's a lot of what ifs, but if you put $2,000 into fixing the hose, what if the pump goes out?
But if we drain the reserve account, what are we going to do? We haven't discussed how to replace the money that was used to buy the ambulances. I feel uncomfortable using the reserve account at this moment. That would take it down there pretty close to zero.
Yeah, that's my concern too, because we had already talked about replacing the money that's already been taken out of the reserve account to the tune, what was it about, Mr. McCarter, $24,000 we needed to talk about putting back into the reserve account?
I don't remember the number.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, the reserve account was up at $64,000, I believe.
Yeah, we had $42,000 we took out of there.
$42,000 we took out. So we were talking about replacing $42,000 into our reserve account.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add more to that, if you don't mind.
Yes, Chief.
I understand where Mr. Jones is coming with that. However, again, and the same thing I said when we made the other purchases out of the reserve account, the reserve account sat for 2 years without being touched. And the reserve account is there to purchase capital items. And to me, life safety is capital items to purchase the tools. Again, you know, what if we fix it and if that makes it? That's fine, but what if it doesn't? What if it fails when we're cutting a body out of a car? Or you know, like I mentioned to you, putting that tool versus the new tool to the new metals that we're cutting with new cars and the way new cars are being built. The jaws that we have, you know, cut them. High pressure hoses. And the high pressure hoses.
What are the high pressure hoses for?
That's where the hydraulic fluid runs from the pump to the tool.
Extremely dangerous. We use high pressure hoses. The new ones use low pressure hoses. So in case there's some sort of catastrophic failure, no one's harmed.
Gets cut off.
If that hydraulic fluid is exhausted and leak out one of those hoses, it can cut you. And then hydraulic fluid on top of it is poisonous. So with a low pressure hose, it's not going to cut you. It's much safer for our people.
I understand the safety aspect of it, but you said yourself that we don't have very many motor vehicle accidents where they're actually doing the extrication. So looking at the amount of money we have in the reserve, how many times will we use that before the next budget? How many times will we be using the extrication tools other than training. I just feel very uncomfortable during
the... How long is it before they get old? How long are do you have them before they get old?
You know, some of the newer equipment, they're guaranteed for a long time. I don't know. I know the stuff that we have currently is old. It needs replaced. I'm not arguing the fact that it needs replaced, but
I'm
just...
I wasn't asking. Just old.
It's old. It's been here ever since I've been on the department for 10 plus years.
So if we buy a new one, how long is that guaranteed for?
I don't know what the guarantee would be.
Chief, do you have an idea on the guarantee?
I would say 8 to 10 years. As long as they're kept and maintained correctly and properly. But, Mr. Chairman, if I could add to that, I'm kind of troubled by what I just heard, that we've only had one in the past amount of time. I mean, we're talking somebody's life here.
No, we have to justify it.
We don't know how many times we need it.
We don't know. And that's what I'm saying, though. Something else could go wrong. Something else could come up to where we need to use this reserve for another capital purchase. I'm just wanting the board to look at the dollar figures and budget for new equipment next year. But right now, let's just get the equipment repaired to where we can use it, and then let's get new equipment.
Is the old one working at all?
No,
it's not working at all.
It would need to be repaired.
How soon could we get the reconditioned one, just for time constraint purposes?
From one of the other companies?
The one you're wanting to recommend.
Expectation Concepts.
Probably a week.
A used one?
No, it's a demo. Well, used is demo.
The demo is $17,000?
Yes.
Any further discussion from the board?
So a used one is $17,000, a new one is $29,000.
Do I hear any motions? It seems like the board is concerned, as I am concerned, about depleting the reserve money. I understand it is for capital purchases, and I understand that we have a lot of what ifs always on the mind. I know vehicle accidents can save lives, but if a station is without that particular tool, then another station is just going to have to be called. It's just like we're without the tool now. What if an accident happens as I'm going home and I'm part of it and I'm in the vehicle and trapped? I know the Sunside station is not going to have that tool. And the scenario may come out negative where they have to call in another station. But that's basically what has to happen at this particular point in time. For at least the next week or next 2 weeks. Mr. McCarter?
What happened to our jaws of life? Did a hose break?
We got several leaks in the hose, yes.
Leaks.
I'm sorry?
There's a few other issues with it other than the hoses. There's a few ships in the cutter, so the material that the cutters are made out of won't cut through a lot of the materials that the newer cars are being made out of. The jaws themselves don't have the force to pop in the native pins of 50% of the new vehicles are coming out with. We actually tested a lot of those when we did the class up here with extrication concepts. even some of the older vehicles that we were cutting on, 80s and early 90s, the jobs that we have would not be the job. There are alternative methods that we use to get into what we have, but it is more time consuming. Just to give you an idea, you know, when we're talking trauma and car accident, you're talking an hour that we need to get you out of that car to the hospital, not out of the car, an hour to the hospital for an hour. And if we're having a call with verification from Alfreda, you're talking an additional 45 minutes easy if we can have a person respond. We can get you out of the car within 10 to 15 minutes in most circumstances, if not quicker.
Well, that is the situation where we stand now, anyway, without our tool. And any more discussion with the board concerning this agenda item?
Can we do this through a lease purchase?
I don't think you can for the demo. You have to go through the demo for the user.
Do you have any idea of what it would cost to lease? If they lease?
I have not looked into leases.
I would feel a lot more comfortable with the lease rather than deplete the reserve fund. We'd succeed in both cases, maintain the reserve fund, and bring in the jaws of life.
Mr. Chairman, I have another suggestion.
Chief, go ahead.
What if we still got in the neighborhood of $70,000 coming into us from the wildfire that's profit? What if we made a decision to say that we replaced that right off the bat?
At a time between now and I would say January or February, correct, at the latest scenario? And that's basically what we had already discussed doing initially with the 42,000 is when those monies came in to replenish the amount that we had. I know as a board we've always discussed about maintaining, and we've heard about that at the Laughlin conventions.
Right.
Is to maintain your reserve fund. Because emergencies do come up. Chief, let me see if the board is open to this suggestion. I would like you to see the options of leasing with these companies that you've already inquired about. And come back to us or come back to me and I can inform the board of what you found out, or you can inform the board yourself if you like through emails. About what you found out about leasing and the cost of leasing, and see if they would do something like that for the demo or a new unit.
If we're going to replace the money with the income coming in from the fires, I just go ahead and buy the demo one when we can, use the reserve fund. Then when the money's come in to us, replace it to the reserve account and go ahead and get the demo one as soon as possible.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
I was about to ask this thing, but
I'll make a motion to that effect.
Okay, Ms. Roll has a motion on the floor. Would you like to restate that motion?
I'd like to move that we buy the demo Jaws of Life from Extrication Concept, LLC, for $17,810.93 from our reserve account, which is at $24,000 approximately, and then have that replaced by future income coming in from the wildfire reimbursement for, what, $80,000 that's coming in?
So
thereabouts? Profit, $70,000. As soon as we get that check, replace it into the reserve account.
Okay, no, that's a motion. Mr. McCarter?
Can we discuss now? Or do we do that after a second?
Do we have a second?
I hate to make these motions.
If we have a second, then we can discuss. I don't hear a second from the board, so that motion will die at that point.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Tim Heine.
That we purchased the exact same unit that Mr. Roll just said with the lease option purchase, so that it's financed, because that does let us have more money, because we still have to pay back that $47,000 for the ambulances out of that fire money. And like you said, Chairman Fino, we do not want to deplete that fund, because what if a truck blows up? Where are we going to get the money to do that? So I think it solves the problem of, we're, instead of paying $1,700 to get the old piece of equipment fixed, we may have to spend $3,000 for our first payment, get it on a yearly payment, and that way we can budget our yearly payment in for the rest of the duration of whatever we finance it for. It's basically, you know, the lease company is basically a finance company.
Will they finance it?
Oh, they, yeah. If they won't, somebody will. They have, just like this gentleman that did presented the solar, there's companies in Phoenix that do nothing but that. They'll finance anything as long as you have good credit. Well, we have good credit.
Yeah, I could probably get it done through Wells Fargo, but we have our account now.
So, okay, we have a motion on the floor, a new motion on the floor, that we go ahead and purchase the Jaws of Life from one of the companies that will accept a leasing option.
The demo,
and I didn't put a time on it, but let's put like a 5-year lease, Chief, is what I'm thinking. 5 years, we should be able to budget that amount for the next 5 years and pay it off.
Hey, I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to approve the leasing of a Jaws of Life with payment options
for 5 years.
Shall we make that 3 to 5?
Let's go 5. That keeps it under
5 years.
Check it out. See what they'll do. Maybe they'll only go 3. But let's.
5 years is still going to get you around $4,000 a year.
And you can pay it off early if you want.
Okay, for a maximum of 5 years. On the leasing option, utilizing the reserve account money for the first payment?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
And it has been seconded by Ms. Candy Rowe. Any discussion on that? My discussion on that is that it will allow the slow trickling in of the wildland fire money to accumulate back into the reserve account. So at the same time, I think we have to make sure that the wildland money coming in, can that wildland money coming in piecemeal be applied to the reserve fund, Laurie?
Depositing into that account.
Just depositing into that account.
I just want to say something if I can, because I'm the one that deals with the money that. The way things are going, I'm not so comfortable saying that all of that could be going into that account right away. Well, we have $49,000 in our operating account. I just want to put that on the table.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's what we need to hear. That's what we need to hear.
Mr. Jones.
Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
Which extrication tools are we discussing it for the lease option?
That one that we used more.
The demo for $17,000.
$17,810.
Well, I think what we need to vote on Mr. Heine, on your motion is to vote to have the chief check into the leasing option to buy to see what kind of cost it would incur the fire district. And then once we have that, then vote to approve that particular price.
I'd like to remain my motion that we purchase this on a payment plan, a 5-year payment plan, call it a lease option, whatever you want to, but the chief can get it worked out, because I think it needs to be ordered that way. It needs to be ordered. I don't think we can put this off for 2 more weeks to vote on it.
Well, then the motion stands and has been seconded. Any further discussion? Mr. McCarter?
Just about the wild land a bit, and I don't know if this is a place to discuss that or not, but I think what you're saying, Laura, is, and what we all need to realize is that the $105,000 that Mr. Heine brought up previously needs to come in before money starts to go back into the reserve account. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Just so we're all kind of clear.
The $109,000 from?
$105,000 that we're behind needs to come in and be put into the operating account before we start to take the $70,000 that's going to come in later. I mean, yes, there's going to be profits in each of those things, but we just as well say the $105,000 comes before the $70,000.
We have to operate.
Well, the 105, the 70 is part of the 105, actually.
Right, but
right.
If,
okay.
if we need that to operate the station, right, I think that should come before the reserve.
We're all with you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? We'll now take a vote on that motion. All those in favor of the lease agreement motion with a show of hands. Show of hands showed. All board members voted in favor of that. So, Chief?
And let us know right away, Chief, if there's a problem.
I will.
Thank you.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to unfinished business. We may not be able to get to all of this. We'll see what we can do. The unfinished business is review and discuss the fire chief's contract and vote to amend the portions of the contract as follows. You should all have your copy of the chief's contract. Under item number one, operational or non-operational. What does the chief fall under and how does it affect his pay? We had a discussion last week at the last meeting, what defines operational and what defines non-operational. I'm not sure if we ever came to a solution or an answer to that, but this is what we'll discuss. It's open for discussion. Any board members? I'll start it off. Operational, in my opinion, are the people who are hourly, who work on an hour, the fire personnel who work on an hourly situation. Non-operational are those people who are either on contract or who do not have the appropriate training to become a fire personnel. Any discussion on that?
Mr. Chairman, I got something, if you don't mind.
Chief, go ahead.
Operational is somebody that runs the calls. Non-operational is office only.
So what
in my case, I would be operational because I do run calls.
And let me ask you, Chief, being on contract, does that still make you operational?
I still run calls, yes.
Yes, okay. So is there a conflict there by any chance?
No, there is not.
There is not, okay. So, following what the Chief talks had just finished commenting, the Chief should fall under operational. All personnel in the fire station run under operational, and so we only have basically one non-operational person in the building, and that's Ms. Tucker.
That's correct.
Okay. Does everybody on the board agree with that? We'll move on to the next item. Compensation. Clarifies payback to the district, the state land, wildfire rate, and salary. Clarifies vacation section. Clarify what a salary position is. Does it cover overtime, holiday pay, and work at home?
Copy of the contract that I have says $40,000 a year. We need to correct that, don't we?
Yeah, that has been corrected. That has been changed. And we'll change it right now as we... let me get the minutes from the last meeting.
Should be
$55,000,
correct?
We talked. What was that?
The salary was set at $55,000.
Yes.
Yes, $55,000. We have that down. We also voted in the last one to clarify the salary is commensurated at how was that worded?
Salary divided by 20 80 hours equals per hour.
Yes, salary is 200 divided by 280 hours.
2,080 hours.
2,000, yes. And let's see, where would that be? That would be.
That was in section C.
Section C.
Compensation.
Salary is commensurated at salary. Divided by 2,080 hours.
So at his current rate of pay, that's $26.44 an hour.
$26.44.
Well, that.
Oh. At that formula.
Okay. So how much again? What was that figure?
$26.44 an hour at his current $55,000.
46 cents an hour?
$26.44.
But that's not going to be written into the contract, correct?
No, because this way we have salary, whatever his salary is at the time, is divided by 2,080 hours.
Correct.
And so we won't run into the problem we ran into last time. When
stating the salary.
Right. So this contract will say salary shall be set at the rate of $55,000 per annum. Under section C, the fire chief shall be paid for state wildland fires at the hourly AD rate after subtracting the hours normally worked at the station, which is 40 hours per week maximum. Do we need to discuss that particular?
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Chief, go ahead.
Under section C, I believe that we had voted to take out the line that says salary is compensated at that rate. I thought we had decided to scratch that whole line.
No. Salary is... is commensurate at 2,080 hours, salary divided by 2,080 hours. Do we have any other? Let me take a look here.
Is that how it's written in Mulse Board? Contracts with their fire chief? 180 hours?
I did give you guys a sample copy of an employee contract. I had asked for several of them, but I was only able to get one. And it's on the very back of the packet I gave you. And it says employment agreement on top.
Okay.
Which packet is this? The second paper
pack? Yeah.
So right now we're talking about clarify his payback to the district. Does this
the district had done away with that part? And if I remember right, I think it was Mr. McCarter that said we should scratch that last line on the seat because we had already discussed it and decided to go with the 2,080 hours that just for salary and not to even pay the wild man because we're going to get the 80 rate for the wild man.
Well, the AD rate at wildfires, I think the statement subtracting the hours normally worked at the station. What is your definition of that, Chief?
You're on something that I was different in a long time.
Under compensation number 4, item C, the fire chief shall be paid for state wildland fires at the hourly AD rate. After subtracting the hours normally worked, 40 hours per week maximum at the station.
Okay.
And then it just goes on to say how that's going to be arrived at. Salary divided by 2,080 hours equals hourly pay.
Right.
Okay. So, okay.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The salary is compensated at 1932 used to be just scratched out. And then the part that Bill just said, the 2,080.
Okay. So, the fire,
just from where it says salary is commensurate at 1923 an hour, that goes.
Okay.
Salary divided by 2,080 hours is put in for that.
Okay. Good. We got that. So clarify his payback to the district, his state land wildfire rate, and salary. That covers all of that then, correct? Clarify his payback to the district, his state land wildfire rate, which is the hourly AD rate, and his salary, which is salary divided by 2,080 hours. Is that correct?
Yes.
Moving on to clarify his vacation. It says here the fire chief shall receive a 2-week paid vacation annually after the first year of service. Interim time accrued will apply toward any departmental position. Now, you know, Chief, you said the first year you didn't take any vacation.
Right, I wasn't given any vacation. It says here that I don't get a vacation after the first year.
Where does that say that? After the first year?
First year of service.
Okay.
Just to put the year in.
So, weren't you absent though? Didn't you take? I thought you took four days at one point, and then possibly 4 days at another point in time the first year.
Negative. I didn't take any vacation the first year.
Okay, I thought you had gone to Lake Powell.
I did on my days off.
On your.
And that was for a weekend, yes.
Okay, I thought that was for 4 days.
That was recently. That was 5 days.
That was just a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
No, okay. No. I thought the first year you did. Okay. I can't go back that full year to refresh my memory. What I'm trying to... So, now you shall receive a 2-week paid vacation. And what does interim time accrued will apply toward any departmental position? What does that mean?
That means when I became the interim chief, my time starts from that day, which is September 25th, 2009.
Okay. Any questions on that? Vacation section. We'll move on. Clarify what a salaried position is. Does it cover overtime, holiday pay, and work at home? Our initial discussion. I myself question, does it cover overtime? Do you get paid overtime, Chief, on a salaried position? And that's a question I want to talk to the board about.
It doesn't say on my contract. However, the what they're going by is they're going by what we had as far as procedure goes before we put in the new procedure. And I've got a copy of it here. It says procedure, standard operating procedure number 105. Item number C in guidelines, non-salaried administrative personnel shall receive paid time off in the amount of their regularly scheduled hours for the observed holidays. Sorry.
Let me get comments from the board concerning that. Does anybody have any opinions or comments concerning overtime for a salary position?
Tim, do you get overtime?
I'm sorry.
Tim, do you get overtime in your position?
Well, I don't take a salary. I'm not a salary.
Not a salaried person?
Person.
Well, we're independents, and we only get paid for what we work. And that's how, even though you're a salary.
Well,
I think
my brother has been a salaried employee for many years, and he does not get any overtime. He is, if you put in extra hours, salary position, it makes up for the 1 week, it makes up for the weeks that you don't do a whole lot of. So to me, that's how a salary position.
So his paycheck is the same?
My brother's paycheck is the same
every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. And sometimes he works Saturdays. Sometimes he works half a day Sunday. Sometimes he works 3 days a week. But that's what a salary position means.
So,
but that's just what I'm used to.
Okay.
Well, because then
I can say that I worked as a salaried employee for many, many years. For a couple of different companies. And I never got any overtime. I got it. And I worked a lot of hours. There were times I worked 114 hours a week. That was just part of doing what we did. Could I take some time off in between times? Yeah, if it was possible, there were times when I could be away from the office and not have to pay or not have to record them. But as a salaried person, I never got overtime. And I had a lot of employees who made more money than I did because they worked overtime.
Well, along with overtime, I guess overtime is also, I think, holiday pay and is basically the same, comes under the same definition, doesn't it? You can't get holiday pay if, because then that becomes something above and beyond salary.
Yes, it should be the same. Every 2 weeks, his paycheck should be the same. If he puts in 40 hours a week or if something happens after hours and he's needed on an emergency, that's just part of the salary. Salary is in overtime.
So maybe, Mr. McCarter?
The other thing I would like to say is that I was expected to be there Monday through Friday, 7 to 4. That was our operating hours, and any other time that management was necessary. So that's how I...
So maybe we need to reword the contract a little bit to specify that, to clarify what a salary position is. We can put down these proposals in the contract. We can run it by, of course, Terry Bannon. We run the $55,000 and the salary divided by 2080 with our attorney already, and that was already approved. And so what I might suggest is that we put down maybe under item G, the definition of a salary employee, what we feel is a salary. Run it by our attorney and see what she thinks.
Expected hours.
Right, expected hours for a salaried employee is from whatever time the station opens.
Station hours. So then on a holiday, the station's closed, so he wouldn't be expected to report to work.
That's correct.
On a holiday.
Right.
Unless
emergency situations required.
So under G, we can write down as a salary employee. The fire chief. Yes.
Second page.
It's a number on the top right.
Standard operating procedure number 105.
That's what you. I've got it here too.
Well, you might not have it because that's the old one.
That's not in the new ones. That's the old one. That's what I'm saying. This is what we were going by. It's not specified in the new.
Well, we have two lines here. It says all operational personnel required to work during an observed.
That's guidelines. That's not policy.
Yeah, it's a guideline. That's not guideline.
Policy.
That's true. it does say that it does give us a scope. This SOP applies to all full, part-time, and salaried employees to provide holidays for the recognition of federal and state recognized holidays. And the policy is the administration offices are closed and all on-duty personnel members receive holiday pay on the following 10 observed holidays. Under the guidelines, I'm going to look at the guidelines because it's a little conflicting. All operational personnel required to work during an observed holiday will receive double pay for all hours worked during that day. Operations personnel not required to work during an observed holiday shall not receive holiday pay. So it does define some operation personnel that are not required to work.
This is where we're at. This is what you're looking
for. Oh, is that what we're looking for? Salaried employees shall receive paid time off for the observed holidays. In the event that a salaried employee is required to work during an observed holiday, that employee shall receive a prorated amount based on their annual salary for all hours worked during the holiday in addition to their regular salary. Okay.
Now here's the new policy.
So this is the SOP that we're looking at now.
That's the old SOP, sir.
Oh, this is the old one?
Yes.
Why are we looking at this one then?
Because that's what they were going off of. Okay, and now here's the new one. It doesn't specify that. There's a little bit of difference.
Oh, that's the same one we were discussing last time.
Yeah.
Right.
Which section is that?
305.3. So we can hand that back.
We were going to talk about holidays.
Under holidays, that's correct. Again, we just have guidelines under here. It says full-time administrative employees shall receive 8 hours of holiday pay in lieu of working, excuse me. It just says full-time administrative employees, but it doesn't define salaried employees.
That's correct.
The closest thing I can find that would define salary versus just hourly would be section 303.8, and they're using the term non-exempt employees. So if we were to make sure it's salary, it should be an exempt, because this is describing the non-exempt.
What section was that?
303.8 under overtime.
What section?
303.8.
I know, but under 1, 2, 3.
Under the policy.
Under policy, okay.
Third one down.
Mr. Carter, if you have it, can I have mine back so I can follow along?
I sent it back.
Last sentence. Oh, this is talking about non-exempt.
Yeah, you can have that one.
So that would be the regular hourly employees. Yourself, you know, the firefighters, whereas the chief is salaried, so he's exempt.
So we have to FLSA, we have to make sure we stay within that realm too of FSLA.
Fair Labor Standard Act.
Okay. And
so that's something that we should ask the attorney. How many, what hourly, or how many hours can he be expected to put in without
being compensated for?
Right, because he is salaried.
Because he is salaried.
Salary exempt.
That is a question we'll bring to the attorney on that. Very good point. Okay. Any other questions on that? Well, what we'll do is we'll ask him, we'll ask the attorney also at the same time about holiday pay and working at home. I do think that we, as this is my opinion, of course, we're in discussion, that the fire chief should be working the normal operating hours. Which is 8 hours a day.
If I may?
Yes.
See, I think where we're getting all crossed up here is we went back to try to do something with Wildlands Fires so that the chief would be allowed to go to Wildlands Fires and possibly make extra money at that time. We basically, that's outside the realm of what we normally said we were going to do, because we normally said we weren't going to allow the chief to be out of the district for that long to do that. But we've gone ahead and decided that, I guess, that we're going to allow that. So basically, that's where the 40-hour thing comes up. 40 hours has to be there to say what he's going to pay back. 40 hours does not say anything about the amount of hours that will be worked. Now, I think you're right in your saying that we need to find out how many hours can be worked without going over the Fair Labor Standards Act. But if you look, operations personnel in excess of 106 hours in one 14-day pay cycle, so that basically says 53. I don't know that there is a limit. The 40 hours, again, what I'm coming back to is the 40 hours we instituted so that we would know how to have the money paid back at times when he was out on wildfires has nothing basically to do with his overall contract. Does that make any sense?
Yes. At the same time, we had the question brought up, can the chief work so many hours overtime to make up for the 40 hours in a row, is that legal? In other words, if he's a salaried employee, and does he work overtime? If he does not work overtime,
then it would be paid back at
the 40 hour, 20.
The formula that we have, the salary divided by the 2080, at that rate would be one would be paid back to the department heads. Because
yes.
he can't pay it back in time because he's salaried.
Correct.
But he can pay it back as returning the funds at that rate at which he earned them at.
So I think what we need to do is come back and write these questions down for our attorney and see what she has to say and how we can word it better. So these are all good questions that we can bring up with the attorney concerning overtime, holiday pay, and work at home. Any other comments or clarifications or statements from the board? We have a section under here called duties. What section is that?
It's the very first page of the contract. Section 1.
Under duties, we have duties in relation to firing and hiring, the involvement in wildland fires and coverage without a fire chief, work hours at the station, and on-call situations.
So,
Under item number K, concerning the first statement, duties in relation to firing and hiring, the board hereby acknowledges and agrees that for the fire chief to be able to properly execute the duties of his office, it is necessary for him to have complete authority over all fire department personnel issues, i.e., example, hiring, terminations, promotions, demotions, etc. However, the fire chief also understands that it is his responsibility to keep the board advised of all personnel issues of significance. And I think this statement at the very bottom is very important. If the chief is having problems with, say, a personnel that is significant, an engine boss, a captain, and there's a situation that might escalate into a personal situation, that he should inform the board before any drastic action is taken, and see if we as a board can help resolve some of the issues that might be occurring between him and the significant. Keep the board advised of all personnel issues of significance. And I think that's a good statement in there. Do we think we need to modify it any? Or does it speak for itself?
What is significance?
Hiring, say, a second secretary because he feels the workload might be too heavy, or hiring more personnel, or saying we need to promote these people, or anything of significance that would affect the fire district. In other words,
anything that will affect the budget, anything that will affect the personnel.
The personnel. I recall when I first got here how the fire department was up in turmoil with the fire chief. And it was all volunteer at that
but
time.
But EMS was paid.
Right, EMS was
but
paid.
The fire side was all volunteer.
The fire, and you were here, yeah. I'm sure, when they had all those conflicts with the fire chief. Who was that?
McWilliams,
and right before McWilliams was
Bob Howard. Bob, the fire chief.
But there was, after Bob Howard died, there was
somebody
in between. What was his name? Do you remember, Bill?
I don't think there was.
There wasn't, because McWilliams won the election, and then
that's right, from Bob Howard.
Oh, okay. Howard. So and with McWilliams, there was some conflict with some of his captains, I guess. And it seemed to escalate where a bunch of people just walked out. A lot of the volunteers just left.
It was a pretty even split with the department.
Right, and so we lost a lot of volunteers. And I think with the board, that wouldn't have happened. To me, that's significant. That's a significant issue. That's it. And I don't think it has to be changed at all, but just...
So he'll have the authority to do the hiring, termination, promotions, demotions, etc. But that should, you're saying that the significance part of everything that was under there should be presented to the board before he goes through with a promotion, before he goes through with a disciplinary action of demotion or even hiring or termination, that should be brought to the board. And is that what you're...
I hate to micromanage.
Right, but just so the board is informed,
is aware.
Aware of what's happening, and then the board could either direct the chief in which direction that we would rather see him go if he's wanting to terminate. Say, well, we really would rather just demotion it, or you see what I'm...
Yes, I see that. Does the board see the direction of that? I think that's important. It's not micromanaging, but it's just keeping the board forward informed and aware.
And then we can relate to the fire chief where we want him as the chief to take this department when we are informed.
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Chief, go ahead.
I kind of agree with you on that. However, when we do discussions like this, it would have to be an executive discussion.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
You know, personal matters would have to be...
So then we would have to have a set of agenda items for personnel matters under executive session.
And all you have to do is just notify us that this needs to be put on the agenda ahead of time.
And this, yes, like you said, just have on the agenda that you may go into executive session.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Let's see. I don't think we have to reword or add anything to it. That's just normal standard procedures to go into executive session when we're discussing personnel matters. Okay, let's move on.
Are we only able to discuss what's on here?
Yes. What?
Involvement in wildland fires and coverage without a fire chief works at the station. So we can talk about wildland fires?
Yes.
Because I'm just reading down through here, and we added this M because we had a wildland fire coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Is that paragraph even
necessary
any longer? The fire chief acknowledges that it is a benefit of the district to be actively involved in wildfires, state land, forest service, and it just says that the wildland coordinator, who was Steve, basically what we had there was Steve was the chief, he became the wildland coordinator, and we wanted to alleviate any discrepancies between the chief and Steve. Is that necessary any longer? Are we going to have a wildland coordinator?
I don't think we are. You know, chief, what is your opinion on that?
I have no plans for a wildland coordinator.
I think we should strike Section M out of this contract.
Are you comfortable with that, Chief?
Now, you know, Chief, with all these changes, with the few changes that we're talking about and listing, of course, we're going to bring this back to you for your approval or your disapproval or your suggestions. So, don't feel this is the final say. We were without a fire chief for that 1 month, and he was the only engine boss available. I understand we're going to get another engine boss. Do we have any time that might be happening?
I believe it's the 25th of this month. They have a meeting. Whether he's on it, I'm not sure.
Yeah, the 19th for committee meetings. They should send out the notices on the 25th. But yeah, we'll roll these in Arizona's.
I have a question.
Mr. Hines?
Since we just, a minute ago, we just said that we're going to go into executive session if we're talking about employees. Why won't we be in executive session talking about what we're talking about now?
Well,
it's not a specific employee.
It's not a specific. We're talking about just a contract.
This is just fire chief in general. We're not talking about Mr. Martinez, per se, but this is a contract between the board and Martinez as fire chief. But this contract would be able to transfer to any person we want to have as fire chief.
I understand that.
So we don't. It's not a personal issue.
Well,
let me. When this is put on the agenda, If the chief wants this to be conducted in a executive session, he has every right to ask for that. Chief, do you wish for this to be an
executive? If the law says that if I want, I have to have it in writing
and I have to have it prior to the meeting.
Right.
It has to be certified mail stating that I want it in executive session. I have to be given that option by law.
Right.
And I wasn't given that option.
Right. So we're not discussing you in particular. We're discussing the contract.
But, Mr. Chairman, I'm fine with this right now. We don't need to go in executive session. I'm fine with this for right now.
We have to notify you.
You have to notify me 3 days prior to the meeting.
If we're going to be discussing, if we're going to be discussing you or your actions or anything like that, any type of personnel action.
Right. But Mr. Chairman, you were asking me a question about M, and I think that we ought to leave the first part of M in all the way until where the period is after agencies.
Yes. Does the board see that?
Yes. And then I will do some investigations because this was just brought up at the last state fire chiefs meeting. But we should have another little section in here that states that I have the right, if I feel needed, to turn the fire over to a team. If a team comes in, and let's say we had a massive fire and it's coming over through Cochise Stronghold and it's moving its way towards Richmond, I should be able to have the board's blessings to go ahead and hand the fire over to a team because you're not going to have enough time to call for a special election or a special meeting to go ahead and get the proper documents. I'll get the proper wording in that.
Okay.
But doesn't that fall under incident command, Chief? I mean...
Yeah, but you still have to have the board's blessing, and it has to be in writing. So I'll get that and get back to you.
Okay, we still have a lot to go, and the hours are passing by. I'm going to put the rest on for the next meeting to continue this with the next meeting, and the other items also on the. Agenda.
At the special meeting?
No.
In 2 weeks?
No.
Okay.
Just for the next regular meeting. Just to clarify on a couple of things, we have a typo on here. Item number C, discuss and vote on the proposed park district, was a typo. So that was already done.
I wondered about that.
It was supposed to have been a different item, and I guess I missed it. And... at this time, I will ask if there are any are calls to the public. Anybody wishing to address the board? Discussion of new agenda items for the next regular meeting. We're going to have old business, of course. We're also going to put on the next agenda item the presentation from Captain Josh concerning the retirement program. And his proposals. We will hear that and possibly vote on that. Are there any other agenda items that the board members wish to be added at this time? And you can remember, we can always add agenda items at any time. So you can always give me a call. So if there's no other agenda items that need to be listed, Chief?
I would like another agenda item added, please.
Yes.
If you look at the old chief's contract, compensation 4, under E, it says that a stipend payment may be paid in place of health insurance, Somewhere in here it says that I get $200 a month for uniform allowance.
Yes, that's that last sentence on that, E.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, I don't think $200 is enough. That's what all the other employees get, and I'm usually here quite more than they are. So I don't think $200 is enough. And I wear polos. They wear T-shirts.
Oh, that's for insurance.
That's for health insurance too.
Where are we at?
Find uniforms.
Yeah, it's not under compensation, is it?
Are you talking about under? The next page, 8, insurance, and then other benefits. the fire chief shall have the same uniform allowance, retirement, vacation, and sick leave benefits as all other employees.
Yes.
As may be established from time to time by district policies, unless otherwise set forth in the specific terms and conditions of this contract.
Yes. And right now the employees are set at 200.
Is that under an SOP?
I see you in t-shirts.
Very rarely do you see me in t-shirts. I only go for it.
Discuss and vote to increase the uniform allowance for the chief. Is that fine, Chief?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, if there's no other items to discuss, everything else will be tabled for the next meeting. I'm adjourning the meeting today at 7:58. Please. That way we'll have that for the next meeting. Sorry we didn't get to that.
That's okay.